Hello, and welcome to A Brand New Day with BTS, a podcast dedicated to bringing you a day-by-day history and song discussion of the South Korean music group internationally known as BTS. In today's episode, so much Festa content. Also, we travel the world with BTS and find out why they're a global group on June 16th, and then discuss tracks Interlude and Like from their debut album Too Cool for School. First, BTS activity last week. Saturday, June 7th to Saturday, June 14th. Oh my goodness, this is going to be a long activity week segment, so bear with me. I decided to record this episode on the weekend so that I could talk about both nights of the Hope on Stage finale concerts. Also, I was so busy celebrating Festa that I ended up scripting and recording this episode way later than usual. For the last little bit, I've been doing this section divided by member, but I think this week I'm going to have to do it somewhat chronologically, so bear with me if it feels a little disjointed. Hopefully it will work out. Festa activities with both Hobi and Jin had already kicked off, but they released the Battle of the Anchors this week, in which they played elocution games in order to find out who would be the news anchor. Of course, we all knew Jin would win, but it was still fun to see him put his elocution skills to the test. Jin's dedication to pronunciation is what makes it so funny when you're raps, so I wasn't at all surprised about the outcome of the games, even beyond the fact that I already knew he was going to win. Hobi also posted a collection of photos from his tour in Asia to put the pin in that experience. Ahead of their discharge, RM and V also posted photos from recent vacations. Jin had a high-touch event in Tokyo, which he flew there and back from on the same day. We also had some Festa content with Jin and Hobi designing outfits for each other and answering a questionnaire. As I mentioned in my social media posts when I posted last week's episode on J-Hope's song Mama, Jin actually recommended we listen to that song this Festa, so I thought it was really cool that it was also randomly selected for last week's episode. Of course, as well as getting ready for Festa and member military discharges, we were also getting ready for J-Hope dropping Killing It Girl. So we enjoyed the teasers early in the week, and Hobi promoted every clip like he usually does, as well as sharing photos of himself in the practice room. On Tuesday, RM and V were discharged from the military. Yay! RM started posting photos as soon as he was free. V also posted photos of the press moment after their discharge and thanked Army for waiting. They did a live stream from HYBE once they were back in the office, just like Jin and Hobi did after their discharge. They kept the conversation fairly light, but they talked about how jarring it is to go into the military. RM thought that a positive thing about it was getting closer to his father and seniors who had also had the experience. V believes that his personality has changed and he's more of a logical thinker who doesn't put up with nonsense. RM joked that he should give it a month. Hobi also gave us a video of their little surprise party in the practice room. Once V was home, he posted photos of various flowers he'd received, including two from Cartier and Celine. He then did a short live from home where he played songs and reconnected with Army in his own way. RM celebrated by post-recommending That's Life by Frank Sinatra, highlighting the lyrics about riding high in April, shot down in May, and back on top in June. RM then did his own live from his house where he talked more in depth about his particularly tough military experience. He had been sent to a camp that hadn't updated its barracks for a while and still had old-fashioned, tougher living conditions. Additionally, sleeping in a small container room with so many other people meant that RM developed a severe case of insomnia and eventually had to be medicated for it, which he is still medicated for it, but he's talking with his psychiatrist and they're both hoping that now that he's home, the insomnia will eventually lessen and RM will be able to slowly decrease the amount of sleep aids he has to take. He is very, very, very thankful to be free. The next day, Vanity Fair posted a video of Jin taking a lie detector test, which he passed most questions and then admitted that they just didn't catch him lying. So new skill unlocked for Jin yet again. But the big news on Wednesday was that Jungkook and Jimin were discharged. Like RM and V, Big Hit decided to coordinate media to meet them off base so that other soldiers wouldn't be disturbed. Unfortunately, unlike RM and V, where the disrespectful so-called fans that came where they weren't invited were a smaller crowd, Jimin and Jungkook had a lot of disrespectful people crash the media venue and yell while they spoke. It was not a great time for us wanting to hear what they wanted to say, but Jimin and Jungkook carried on like nothing was happening and they were full of smiles and giggles, and that's what's important. They also did a live back at HYBE where they continued being their slightly out of practice introverted selves. We learned that Jimin had a hard time in the training camp while JK excelled, and then when they were assigned to their unit, the roles were reversed, but they were both very thankful to have each other there. Jimin sometimes had to sleep in a tank, and he accidentally grabbed a beehive one day and got stung all over. And JK, as a cook, didn't have weekends, but it seems eventually they both adapted okay. Once again, Hobi shared a video from practice room celebration. Jimin posted on Weverse thanking ARMY but urging all those outside HYBE to move out of the area as the crowds were becoming concerning in the narrow alleys near the building. Jimin tweeted a mirror selfie with Jungkook next to the writing he had left there 18 months ago that the staff at HYBE had chosen to leave up this whole time. B posted a collection of photos taken when he was with his military unit and a reunion photo with his Wooga squad friends, as well as sharing two photos of himself dancing with Lee Jung-hee. Festa continued on the 12th, which is the anniversary of their first album and initial showcase. Hobi and Jin posted a pre-recorded radio show where they went through a questionnaire that ARMY were sent weeks ago with 12 questions. RM posted bus stop ads he had seen congratulating both himself and Jimin on their discharge. JK posted the Festa photo booth photos that he had taken with Jimin. Meanwhile, Hobi was rehearsing for Friday night's concert. He shared photos from the stadium. RM continued to post celebratory posts about discharge, including a mirror selfie. Jimin also posted the photo booth pictures with JK and another selfie with the outline of the person on the practice room mirror that he drew 18 months ago, as well as photos of messages and awards from the military. June 13th was the big day as the official anniversary. It started off with RM posting an extremely lovely letter to Weverse, a letter full of clumsy love, as he put it. But that just makes it all the more endearing. Then J-Hope dropped Killing It Girl, featuring Glorilla, ahead of his evening concert. We were treated to shirtless, sexy J-Hope in the music video, and little did we know that that was just the beginning. And of course, the song is amazing and went immediately into my Happy Morning playlist because I want to be told that I'm killing it as I make pancakes. Hobi had soundcheck and warned ARMY that it was calling for rain and to not catch cold in the open-air stadium. Then we got a wonderful Hope on the Street Festa version of J-Hope's concert. The first surprise was Jungkook coming out in person just 2 days after discharge to join him for the beautiful chorus of I Wonder. And for the encore, Hobi sang a duet of Spring Day with Jin. He gave Jin the stage to serenade everyone with Don't Say You Love Me. And then for me, the biggest surprise came with the first ever live audience performance of Jamaebu, with Hobi and JK rejoining Jin on stage to perform the song. It really is one of my favorite songs, and they performed it so beautifully. And of course, I also have to talk about the fact that all members were in attendance at the show, having fun in their box seats, and this includes Yoongi. It was the first time we've seen him since he enlisted. And my goodness, he was suddenly looking very small next to all those post-military beefcakes. I missed him so much, and I can't wait for this week to be over so that I know he's officially back where he belongs. Saturday the 14th started out with an apology from Jungkook. Apparently, some photos from rehearsal had gotten leaked, and in them he was wearing a hat that he didn't know the cultural meaning of. The letter was him finding out that it was offensive, apologizing, and assuring us that he had disposed of it. Meanwhile, Jimin had gone out for drinks with RM and gotten into his feelings, so he posted some old notes that he had taken on his smartwatch about missing ARMY. Then he wrote a post explaining that he had been drinking and talking about loving everyone and wanted to share his thoughts. The post was a little typo-riddled, so he was definitely breaking the don't post drunk rule and fully admitted it. He did warn us that he might delete it in the morning, and he was right. Once he woke up in the afternoon, he made another post saying sorry about that, but honestly, he's adorable. J-Hope posted photos from the concert and shared every media post or friend's post about it. Jin posted photos of himself backstage, and J-Hope commented telling Jin that he loves him. This time before the concert, on Saturday, J-Hope warned that the weather was hot, and it was so hot that J-Hope decided to perform Killing the Girl and the entire set of songs that came after it shirtless, with only a small jacket to cover his arms. He also had a special guest Crush come out for Sweet Dreams to perform Miguel's part, and they did a special performance of Rush Hour. After the concert, J-Hope said that he'd postpone his usual day to Weverse Live since his episode of The Manager, or Omniscient Interfering View, was airing that night, and he didn't want to compete for views. And that brings us to Sunday, which I'll talk about next week. Let's hope not much happens on this day in BTS history, because this episode is going to be too long. This day in BTS history, June 16th. June 16th, 2013. It's 3 days after debut. The boys appear on SBS Inkigayo, and they have their second mini fan meeting. This might also be when they filmed Bangtan Bomb called Jungkook's Sight. The boys post a lot of selfies on Twitter about the fan meeting and their appearance on the show. JK posts a selfie and declares that he now knows how to use Twitter. JK tweets after the fan meeting to explain that he got nervous and stuttered a lot, but he hopes that the fans had fun. This was before ARMY had a name. Jimin also tweets that the fan meeting was a little awkward, but he's hoping to be cooler in the future. Hobi also replies to their senior idol, Jo Kwon, and thanks him for his help. BTS often did this in the early days, and I don't always note it, but they were always thankful to their senior artists who helped them out. BTS film a group log that evening. Jin and V talk about their debut and how they nearly or did cry. RM and JK talk about the broadcast for Inkigayo that day. Suga, Hobi, and Jimin also talk about the broadcast that day, and Suga admits that he also almost cried. June 16th, 2014. BTS are in Moscow. The day before was the Festival Bridge to Korea in Moscow concert. However, before they were in Moscow, they did some promo in Japan, and also today they appear on FM Yokohama. RM tweet recommends From Me to You by Joo Young. BTS tweet a group photo and thank ARMY. V tweets a photo of himself taken by Hobi, and RM tweets out thanks to all the Russian fans. June 16th, 2015. BTS are in Myanmar. They're performing at K-pop Concert Live in Yangon, Myanmar. RM tweets a photo of the back of his leather jacket, which reads Rap Monster. They tweet a lot of selfies, and RM recommends a song by Drunken Jiger, JK. June 16th, 2016. BTS are in Japan. I'm starting to feel like this day in BTS shows us why BTS are a global group and have a fandom that's recognized globally too. Today, the only thing I know for sure is that RM tweet recommends Fragile by Gnash. However, sometime between June 14th and June 16th was when Jin filmed the episode of Eat Jin that was posted to YouTube on June 24th, 2016. June 16th, 2017. BTS are in Japan again. This time for the Wings tour. On this day, they're somewhere between Nagoya and Saitama, but the only thing I know for sure is that RM tweets some selfies. June 16th, 2018. I have no idea what they did on this day. Maybe they headed off, that'd be nice and well-deserved. But they could have also been doing things like the Answer Jacket photoshoot or filming the Idol music video, who knows. June 16th, 2019. BTS are performing at the Fifth Muster Magic Shop in Busan. You can watch it on the Magic Shop DVD. A few of them tweet selfies throughout the day, and RM also tweets a photo of the view from his hotel room. After the concert, JK does a V-Live. This one is probably most well-known for the one where he has prepared some wine and eats an apple, creating the meme of Night Apple is Poison Apple, but it's okay because I'm JK. JK also talks about how he wants to film another GCF film, but the problem is that he has a real job and doesn't have the time. JK spends the whole V-Live chatting and would have talked more, but there are staff who can't go to bed until he finishes. I'm glad that those days are over, and now when JK wants to chat all night, he just turns on Weverse Live on his own phone in his house, and we can just be there for 4 hours. June 16th, 2020. Jimin does a YouTube Live as part of their self-produced album project for the pandemic. He updates us about the album progress as he's project manager. The members have finished all their drafts, and Jimin collected them and sent them to the company. He also talks about how thankful he is that ARMY has stayed with them and how significant the 7th anniversary is, since it would have been their last if they hadn't signed new contracts. The members are all grateful that they can continue together. Jimin also appears accidentally in Tomorrow by Together's V-Live later, or at least his voice does when he walks into the break room while they're live. J-Hope also tweets a selfie with the Galaxy AirPods that V gave him at Festa. June 16th, 2021. I don't know what BTS were up to on this day, but it's the day that BTS The Best Anthology was released in Japan. June 16th, 2022. Chapter 2 has officially kicked off, and RM has kicked it off with a much-needed vacation. He's in Switzerland, enjoying Art Unlimited and Foundation Bieler in Basel, and also filming a vlog that will later be posted on YouTube. However, the media has been ridiculously misunderstanding and misinforming as usual, and RM has to take the time to post a long letter on Weverse about how annoyed he is that the media has taken clips from the Festa dinner out of context, making it seem like their pause on group activity is a disbandment. He reiterates that the dinner was for ARMY, and he's sure that if ARMY watched the whole thing, they would understand. BTS is forever. A side note here, I've always been quite confused as to how Chapter 2 news caught so many ARMY off guard. I might do an episode of it on my Patreon-only podcast sometime, but I think it does have a lot to do with how information is disseminated and where ARMY first encountered what was the contents of that dinner. I think I wasn't as caught off guard for many reasons, but one of them was certainly that I actually watched the dinner first. Anyway, back in Korea, V posed extra photos from their proof concept photo shoot. On YouTube, the team publishes the YouTube short called ARMY, We Come So Far Together and BTS Will Keep Making Memories. Hobi shares a post from GQ Korea about himself, and V and Suga post photos from their M Countdown comeback stage once it airs that evening. June 16th, 2023. Jimin is active on Weverse, falling asleep and then not being able to fall asleep, but then sleeping for 10 hours, which was way longer than he planned. V returns to Korea from overseas schedules that I don't think I ever found out what were for, but hopefully he had a good time doing mysterious things abroad. RM posts his workout for the day, and Suga is in Singapore performing day one of his August D-Day tour there. For Festa, which is still going on because it's the 10th anniversary, which is a great milestone, V releases Le Jazz de V live clip on Bangtan YouTube channel. V posts a link to the clip. Meanwhile, RM posts the transit and traffic measures taken for the 10th anniversary event planned for the next day. June 16th, 2024. For the first time since I started this podcast, I don't have to start with everyone is enlisted when we get to 2024, because Jin is free. Not only that, but he's getting ready to fly to Jeju Island because he's going to hike a mountain for what will be the very first episode of Run Jin. You can see this day in Run Jin Episode 0-2 Jeju Island Trip D-1. Also, RM might be enlisted, but that doesn't mean he has to be absent. He uses his precious phone time to post a clip of another artist covering Come Back to Me. And that brings us to this year, where nearly all of the members are free and we're just waiting on our lovely Suga. He has to finish out this week at his 9-to-5. Happy Festa, everyone! Song discussion, interlude, and like. Too Cool for School was BTS's debut album, released on June 12, 2013. Debuting with a strong hip-hop influence, BTS were a little outside the box at the time, though seeing seniors such as Zico debut had given RM a lot of hope for the success. Interlude and Like are the fifth and sixth tracks on the album. Both songs were produced by Slow Rabbit, who has since become Tomorrow by Together's main producer, though he still sometimes drops in to contribute to tracks like For Youth. Interlude, specifically, is designed to take us from the mood of their debut song, No More Dream, into the mood for Like, which is more of the R&B side of hip-hop rather than the harder rap of No More Dream. Interlude starts with the sound of a page turning and then goes into a simpler beat with some more atmospheric instrumentals over it. Like was written by Slow Rabbit, RM, Suga, and J-Hope. It's sometimes called I Like It in English, or it's sometimes Like Part 1 or I Like It Part 1, since they later released a Part 2 in both Korean and Japanese, though the Japanese version is likely the one that's best known among international fans. Like, or I Like It, or I Like Part 1, doesn't have a music video, but because it's an older song and we're now 12 years into their career, there are a lot of great performances of this song. My personal favorite might be the live band version from ARMYpedia. You can find it on YouTube in a compilation of three songs performed to camera for the event in 2019. There's also a Suga focus cam performance of the song, which was a performance filmed with the camera only focused on Suga the entire time, so everyone has to chase him down and sing next to him if they want to be on camera. It's really hilarious. There's also a great one they did in October 2017 for M Countdown, which included most of the original choreography, with some tweaks made so that they could travel more of the larger stage while they sang. V The only other performance that I could easily find on YouTube is from their legendary performance at KCON in 2014, which they performed at just a month after filming American Hustle Life. In that performance, they don't do the choreography, the full choreography. They use the time to wander the stage to connect with more of the audience. The choreography, because the song is called Like and it's referencing liking something on social media, there's a lot of thumbs up incorporated into the choreography, and that's kind of my favorite part of it, is tracking all the thumbs up they give. I'm going to jump right into the lyrics since I'm already tight on time this week and I love this song and want to talk about the lyrics. Fundamentally, this song is about the aftermath of a breakup and how it complicates the act of scrolling your social networking, your social media feed. Jungkook starts off this song with the lyrics, "Want to be loved, don't want to be fool, want to be cool, want to be loved, same love with you, baby I want it." The lyrics "same love with you" with "same love" said in English remind me of a Twitter exchange on March 6, 2013 between RM and Bang PD. RM had tweet recommended "Same Love" by Macklemore, explaining that initially he thought it was about experiencing the same level of love as your romantic interest, but thought the song was twice as good when he discovered it was about homosexuality. The funny bit comes in the next few days when the tweet leads to a Twitter exchange between RM, Bang PD, and Supreme Boy, who was RM's friend since middle school, about whether Macklemore and Lewis were gay, which RM misunderstood to be Bang PD asking him if he and Supreme Boy were gay. I bet thinking that your boss, who was planning to debut you in an idol group in the next few months, asking you publicly if you were gay in an industry where that's not something you're usually open about, was a mind trip for RM. Thankfully, they cleared it up to much hilarity. Anyway, here RM uses the line with the meaning that he originally understood it, in my opinion. RM picks up the rapping for verse 1. In RM's verse, he talks about watching as a guy that he hasn't seen before likes every photo that RM's ex posts and wondering who he is, but then realizing that he has no right to ask since he's not the person's boyfriend anymore. He dials their number out of habit, but feels like calling or texting would make him a loser. But if he does nothing, then it feels like they don't care about him. RM wishes there was a dislike button. He doesn't want to push the like button and be just one out of 30 others. He sees guys commenting, "Let's meet up," and "Why are you so pretty?" and curses them out. "You're not even mine anymore, but why do I feel like you're being taken away from me? Haha, you're doing so well without me." Which, yeah, I think we've all had the experience of seeing a former love of ours seemingly have a perfect life without us. It's difficult because social media really is just all the good things in somebody's life, and none of the bad. RM concludes his verse with the lines, "Swallowing down the curses that come up to my throat, I click like yet again today." And that brings us to the great debate of this song and why it's called Like. Do you like a post by your ex, or do you just scroll past? It's a very complicated emotional question for such a seemingly inconsequential thing. In Suga's Too Cool for School album review, which you can find on Bangtan TV YouTube channel or with English subtitles on Bangtan Sub's YouTube channel, Suga explains that this is a common experience that doesn't have to be specifically about Facebook, though given they wrote this in 2013, that's what they were thinking of. And specifically thinking of a Facebook that only had the option of a thumbs up, rather than the multiple reaction options you have today. Suga runs through the different social media sites, such as PsyWorld and KakaoTalk, that have been popular in Korea in recent years, as examples of how he knows times will change again. In the chorus, members of the vocal line sing about how the girl looks even better now that they're not together, and how it's mean of her to look so good. They know it's over, but they still want that same love. Suga comes in for verse 2. Suga says that the track came quickly for him and he wrote his part in 40 minutes. For Suga's verse, he's seen his ex through mutual friends liking their pictures, with them tagged in the photo of them and their new boyfriend. Suga backspaces into memories, in a world that has already stopped, but he's still clinging to it. He wonders if his ex is thinking about him. For Suga, he almost clicks like, dozens of times, though he continues, "Your heart cut me out without mercy, like a guillotine. I wear a goblin's hat and secretly approach you and see your daily life every day." A goblin's hat is a Korean mythological equivalent of a cloak of invisibility, so you'll sometimes see it translated that way. I like how Suga likens looking at your ex's social media accounts as creeping on them like you're spying, because fundamentally that's what it ends up being like when you know they've cut you out of their life. I also love Suga's references to guillotines because he may have only done it twice, but still twice is more than once, and I love that for him. Suga's ultimately decided not to click like in his verse. After another chorus, J-Hope comes in for the bridge. Rather than happening upon his ex's page, he's openly sought it out, saying, "Wondering how you are doing these days. Out of curiosity, I look you up, and there are so many likes. Why did I think of you, who's doing so well without me? I find myself more pitiful that I came to your page. I'll also like your post and leave. Without you, I'm living like this these days." So J-Hope gets to sing about the experience of looking someone up and seeing that they're likely not thinking of you or longing for you the same way you are. They've moved on, or at least from their social media post, appear to have. And perhaps the better thing to do would be to pretend you never looked them up. But J-Hope compounds how pitiful he feels by hitting the like button. Or maybe hitting that like button is a way to pretend you've moved on and are happy for your ex having moved on as well. Again, a simple act of hitting a like button can be complicated. I really love this song because it sounds on first listen like a romantic ballad intended to woo a lover, but it's really a sad song about feeling pitiful and being emotional about a breakup, feeling jealous or conflicted feelings about seeing your former lover doing well in life. Fundamentally, while BTS are wooing us sonically and with cute choreo, they're singing a sad song about how pathetic they feel. It's a common trait in their music that the way a song sounds and what it's about are often very different things. And it started very early in their discography. This is, after all, their debut album, and they're already doing it. And now it's time to spin the random song generator for next week. I will pull it up. I will add Killing It Girl to it as well, because I haven't done that yet. All right. And the winner is DNA. Wow. Okay. Big one. DNA will be talked about next week on the 23rd episode. The episode that will be up on the 23rd. Awesome. Okay. Great. I will see you then. And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. If you'd like to discuss this episode or next week's song or have a say in what song gets chosen in the future, you can find me on Patreon and Ko-fi at A Brand New Day Pod. You can also find me on Blue Sky at A Brand New Day Pod, or you can email me at abrandnewdaypod@gmail.com. Thank you. Have a good day.